Good evening. Welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight, we're going to be listening to some of the music written by ragtimers who have birthdays in the month of January. We pay attention to some of the bigger names, David Thomas Roberts, Percy Wenrich, Trevor Tichenor, Scott Kirby are those that we've done separate programs on. We've got a program coming up on Charlie Strait next week. But there's a whole list of them that are lesser known, and we're going to be spending time with those this evening. We'll take them chronologically. So we'll start with a birthday on January 1st. And that goes to Fred Heppner, who was born January 1st, 1934. Fred lives in Southern California, near the Los Angeles area. He's an incredible fan of ragtime. He's a student of music, has done research on some forms of folk music, as well as ragtime. And he writes some pretty decent rags. In fact, he's won prizes with some of his rags. So we're going to listen to three of those tonight. Fred doesn't record, but other people have discovered his rags and have recorded them. So first up is one from 1960, way, way back when, I think, when Fred first started going to music festivals. And it's called Sedalia, named after the Scott Joplin Ragtime Festival in Sedalia, Missouri. And it was cut into a piano roll, which is what we'll listen to this evening, a piano roll cut by Howard Weilmunster. Here is Sedalia by Fred Heppner.
Thank you.
Well, a rollicking rag there by Fred Heppner. Sedalia, that was a piano roll, privately cut. We're going to slow things down now because later in his compositional career, Fred tended to get into more lush sounds. So here from 1991 is a piece called Aura of Indigo, and to play it for us are Ann and Jeff Barnhart on flute and piano, respectively.
Thank you.
lovely piece, Aura of Indigo. Fred Heppner wrote it, and Ann and Jeff Barnhart have just performed it. Well, I mentioned earlier that Fred has won some contests with his pieces, and here is one of those. In 2014, the Blind Boone Ragtime Festival had a composition dedicated to its founder, Lucille Salerno. And so this was one of the winning compositions by Fred Heppner. It's called Lucille Rags Columbia from 2014. And here, apparently, Fred recorded this himself. A first for him, I do believe.
Thank you.
Fred Heppner's rag, Lucille Rags Columbia from 2014. Well, a belated happy birthday to Fred Heppner on January 1st. Next time you go to a ragtime festival, look around. Fred is probably going to be there. Turning now to next on our list, Julius Lenzberg, born January 3rd, 1878, in Baltimore, Maryland, to German-Prussian immigrants. He was the youngest child of a large family. His father was employed as a cigar packer in Baltimore. Julius was classically grounded with an ear for melody. He soon became competent in music theory and performance on both piano and violin. He quickly found work leading an ensemble at the Circle Theater in New York and started on his first of many summers playing on Long Island and Long Branch. At the beginning of the 1903 and 1904 seasons, he provided music for the summer at the Scarborough Hotel, soon became the musical director of the Colonial Theater in New York, and he's mentioned in the New York Times in 1906 as managing the orchestra of the Long Beach Hotel on Hempstead Bay, Long Island, for the summer season. And here's a quote, I think, from the New York Times. "They have an orchestra at the Colonial Theater that, for its size, would be hard to equal, much less excel." Lenzberg hits during the ragtime era were few, but noteworthy. One of his great talents was adapting well-known classical tunes to piano ragtime format. Among these are his Hungarian rag and his operatic rag. We'll listen to both of those tonight. We'll start with the Hungarian rag, based on themes by Franz Liszt, his Hungarian Rhapsody. Lenzberg wrote this in 1913, and here is the New Century Ragtime Orchestra.
Thank you.
Okay. The New Century Ragtime Orchestra and the Hungarian Rag, based on Franz Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody. Next, we have the Colonial Rag from 1914, named obviously for the Colonial Theater, where Lenzberg was the musical director. And here is the twin pianos of Glenn Jenks and Dan Grinstead. Glenn Jenks and Dan Grinstead with the Colonial Rag by Julius Lenzberg. And our final Lenzberg composition is his Operatic Rag from 1914, probably featuring at least one, if not many, themes from operas. Here is the New York Ragtime Orchestra under the direction of Mas Ikemia. Thank you. The Operatic Rag, our final Julius Lenzberg composition for the evening. That was the New York Ragtime Orchestra. Well, next on our list, born January 16th, 1877, in Fairfield, Iowa, is Imogene Giles. Actually, she was born Gertrude Imogene Rupert. Her father, Frederick Rupert, was listed as a railroad worker. Little is known of Imogene's musical training, but it was evidently sufficient that she was able to find employment in the music field. In 1901, Imogene was married to Henry Emerson Giles, who ran the successful Giles Brothers Music Company in Quincy, Illinois, with his brother. Her single rag, Red Peppers, issued in 1907 by the Giles Brothers, is well-crafted and leaves historians and collectors wondering what more she might have been capable of. Little else is known of her later years, although she was listed in 1923 as a musician for the Star Theater, likely playing for both silent films and occasional live shows. She died in 1964 in Quincy at the age of 87. Here to play that one and only rag, Red Peppers, from 1907, is Tony Caramia. Thank you. A marvelous interpretation of a rag that was probably designed to be played much faster. Beautiful, beautiful work by Tony Caramia on Red Peppers by Imogene Giles. Well, that was her one and only rag, so we'll move on to Muriel Pollock, who was born January 21st, 1900. She was an American pianist of Russian descent and a composer of popular music, her best-known ragtime composition being Rooster Rag from 1917. She studied music in New York at Juilliard and produced piano rolls for Melody Music Company and Rhythmotic Music Corporation. In the late 1920s, she furthered a recording and broadcasting career with both Constance Mehring and V. Lawnhurst, performing remarkable piano duets. She had a special bent for the so-called novelty works composed during her era. She worked with several songwriters on both songs and musical, one of which, Pleasure Bound, ran for 126 performances at the Majestic Theater, New York, in 1929. On her marriage to songwriter Will Donaldson, she moved to California, where she died in Hollywood in 1971 at age 76. Here is that best-known rag, probably her only one that I'm aware of, from 1917, the Rooster Rag, and here is Brian Wright. Wright has recorded Rooster Rag from 1917 by Muriel Pollock, her only rag. Moving on now to a name that's probably somewhat unfamiliar, John W. Bratton, born January 21st, 1867. He was an American Tin Pan Alley composer and theatrical producer who became popular during the era known as the Gay 90s. Raised by his grandmother in New Castle, Delaware, which is near Wilmington, he was the son of John F. and Emma Bratton, of whom little is known. He was educated at the Harkness Academy in Wilmington and later attended the Philadelphia College of Music before embarking on a career as a baritone singer. His career soon moved from performer to composer and producer. He began in the chorus of a show called Ship Ahoy for $18 a week, and not before too long was selling songs written with his lyricist Walter H. Ford, and Paul West, for as little as $10 a title. And over the years, Bratton would collaborate on over 250 songs with Ford and West. Here is a tune, I don't know if it has lyrics or not, but it was early composition of Bratton's from 1899. It's called Rubberneck Jim, and it will be played by Tom Breyer on his synthesizer. So hang on to your seats, because this could be a wild performance. Sorry about the sudden ending there. The recording runs a lot of pieces together, and they had to be separated, so it was drastic. Rubberneck Jim by John W. Bratton is played by Tom Breyer on a synthesizer. Well, today Bratton is remembered for his composition dating from 1907, Teddy Bear's Picnic, the only one of his songs to be a lasting hit. Although most of his compositions had lyrics, he left Teddy Bear's Picnic as an instrumental. Lyrics were written later on by a lyricist from Ireland. Bratton died in his Brooklyn home in 1947 at age 80. Here is the new Columbian Brass Band to bring us Teddy Bear's Picnic. Teddy Bear's Picnic, written by John W. Bratton in 1907, played by the New Columbian Brass Band. All right, let's move on now to Will Marion Cook, born January 27th, 1869, as William Mercer Cook. He was an African-American composer and violinist from the United States. He was a student of Antonin Dvorak and played for King George V, among others. He's probably best known for his popular songs and Broadway musicals, such as Clorindy and In Da Homie. He was born in Washington, D.C., to John Hartwell Cook, who was dean of the Howard University School of Law, and his wife Isabel. Cook's musical talent was apparent at an early age. At 15, he was sent to the Oberlin Conservatory to study violin. With help from members of the African-American community, his benefit recitals were sponsored to help him afford to study abroad. In 1890, he became director of a chamber orchestra touring the East Coast. Clorindy, subtitled The Origin of the Cakewalk, a musical sketch comedy in collaboration with Paul Lawrence Dunbar, was his second composition in 1898. It was the first all-black show to play in a prestigious Broadway house, the Casino Theater's Roof Garden in New York City. He then became composer-in-chief and musical director for the George Walker Burt Williams Company. As he continued to write, he produced many successful musicals. Cook died in 1944 and was buried in Washington, D.C. Here is a piece from Clorindy. It's called On Emancipation Day, and It's an instrumental version of a song, and it's played by the Ragnolia Ragtet. Emancipation Day, played by the Ragnolia Ragtet. And one of his great big hits, a vocal called Jonah Man, written by Will Marion Cook in 1903. Here to sing it for us is Max Marath.
My hard luck started when I was born, least so the old folks say. That same hard luck been my best friend right until this very day. When I was born, my mama's friends to find a name they tried. They named me after my papa, and the same day papa died. I'm a Jonah man, I am a Jonah man. My family for many years looked on me, then shed tears. Why am I this Jonah? I just don't. But I'm a good, substantial, full-fledged, real, first-class Jonah man. First-class Jonah man. First-class Jonah man.
to fade this one out. I've got two more that I want to get in tonight, and you've heard the lyrics and the melody, so we'll let it go at that. Will Marion Cook's Jonah Man, and that was Max Morath, of course. Turning now to next on our list, John Gill, world-known stride pianist, living in Perth, Australia, preferred busking on the mall to concert halls and tuxedos, where he was a fixture busking for two decades. He died suddenly of a heart attack in 2011 at age 57. Recognized as Australia's first and only accredited Busendorfer concert artist, he toured extensively in Asia, Australia, and the USA, and was described at one time as Australia's greatest stride pianist. There's a street plaque in his honor in ragtime Mecca, Sedalia, Missouri. He was born in Lancashire, England, January 28, 1954. Took a few early piano lessons, but he was essentially self-taught. So let's listen to a piece that he wrote, one of two that I'm aware of. This one is called Little Dog's Blues, and here is John Gill. John Gill, his gentle loping style. Boy, I miss John. He played a couple of times for our Rocky Mountain Ragtime Festival here in Boulder and was always a big hit. Little Dog's Blues, that was. We won't have time for our last number tonight, so we'll have to do that some other time. But we've been celebrating January birthdays of lesser-known composers born in the month of January. I hope you've enjoyed that. And maybe you've learned a few new names as we went along. So that will do us for evening. Thanks very much for joining us on Ragtime America, and I hope you will continue to do so on Thursday evenings in the future. So the time is exactly 9 o'clock. You are listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
Thanks again, Jack, and a hearty good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave Gloss with tonight's version of Swing Shift. In addition to your requests, I've got some really special stuff. Brand new issues of recordings made in the 1930s from the Bill Savory Collection. So be sure to stay tuned for some really marvelous and fresh sounds. First up in the request bin tonight is a tune that was written by Rodgers and Hart back in the 30s for our special listeners, Al and Carol. We're going to have three different versions of the marvelous My Funny Valentine, commencing with Teddy Wilson and tenor saxist Ben Webster.
Mm-hmm.